Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Eric Pearl as we talk about his latest work, Solomon Speaks, on reconnecting your life. And welcome back, Eric Pearl, with us. Eric, the information from Solomon speaking through Fred lasted a number of years. How did you sort through all that stuff?
We took it relatively in sequence, even though it wasn't sequential entirely in its teachings. What it does is it asks more questions. And so we took the flow of it and grouped them together into topics that would flow with one another. We began to listen to what Solomon would tell us, but Solomon tells us things that gives us more questions, and then tells us more things that gives us more questions. He asks us to feel, to become a clear channel in which to express the deepest part of our lives. He explains that our soul is eternal in its manifestation, but it is here now for the express purpose of recognizing the greater self that we are. And then I know, George, our natural instinct, yours and mine, is to say, well, how do we express that greater purpose?
Right.
And Solomon will say, well, we reach this by allowing ourselves to feel that force as it comes through our expression. And then we want to say, well, how do we feel it? Well, those are the answers that we actually are here to discover. So Solomon continues by saying, We reach this by allowing ourselves to feel that force as it comes through our expression, meaning our expression here on earth is life. This expression being the manifestation of this physical form. It is an expression that we have chosen, not unlike a mask of sorts that we choose to wear in this plane. We give it a deeper inner expression as we connect our soul to the greater universe. In that way, we feel the forces that propel life in its most basic nature, its most finite, infinite particle of energy force, which sounds at first, George, like a contradiction to be finite, infinite. His teachings encourage us to stretch beyond the four-dimensional linear understanding of language. He teaches that we must not feel that we are apart from it or not in sync with the rhythms that flow through us. They are conjoined to the forces of many others, and ultimately, they flow in the same river. In other words, ultimately, we are connected to one another. The nature in which these forces flow determines the quality of expression in this mask, as it were, and you must coordinate those forces to be free on their own volition so that they have their own guiding light, that they will seek their own path, for they automatically know the way home, and we must give them license to feel free to find it. Once that is permitted, you have allowed yourself to flow in the real source of force that guides the entire universe. This is something that feeds the inner soul, this connection, and must be pursued in order to elevate a deeper thinking in terms of this plane.
Let's take some calls for you, Eric. We'll go, first of all, to D in Medford, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hey, D, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Oh, Eric, you hit it right on the button. You know, although language, you said, you know, isn't the thing, George is a good example. You know, he's a master of language, and he gets into a rhythm, and everything starts to flow. But once in a while, and this applies to everybody, you hit a hiccup, and there's a word that belongs to you, and you can't get it. And the more you try to get it, the less likely you are it's going to come to you.
And that's what happened to me with the Solomon teachings. It became very frustrating because I wanted
and that's
answers.
The thing.
And only when I got to the point of saying, I'm not getting these answers in the way that I want them, did I finally give up. And it was in that giving
and then
up.
And it came to you.
Yes, the light began to come on as to what this
to you.
Means.
And George, that's what he's trying to tell you. That cosmic thing is all around you. You know, it's easier if you imagine, instead of your soul being inside of you, imagine your soul being what you're wearing. It's outside of you, and it's in touch of everything that is. Everything. And if you release your self-consciousness, if you release, as Eric said, your judgment, just let it go, it comes to you. I mean, it comes to you like magic.
It's an aha. It's a sudden aha. You know, and the book is called Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life, and it is put together sequentially in the way the information came in over time, because there is a flow to it, and yet this allows us to learn in other dramatic ways if we just pick up the book, open it to a page, and read a few sentences into a paragraph or two, and then sit with it. It's almost like the words almost form a mantra. We study, we listen, we do it again. You know, when we read, for instance, some of us who might be familiar with J.J. Hertog's book, The Keys of Enoch, the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, sometimes you start to read it and you go, oh my God, is this gobbledygook? What is this person saying? But if we break it down and take a few words and a few words and a few words and then read those words again into a sentence and then read it with the next sentence, all of a sudden something opens up and there's an insight that wasn't there just moments before.
Well, that's a good point. Eric, and it seems like, I don't know, it's just my impression that more and more people are jumping on this bandwagon to do this. Is that pretty accurate?
The bandwagon to do what?
To learn this, to really get in touch with it.
Well, we are craving to be more. You know what's interesting is that up until maybe about 1,000 years ago, the Christian Bible taught reincarnation. Up until maybe about 350 years ago or so, the Jewish Bible taught that. These things were consciously removed from these books. Many people many experts feel, because that they felt that if human beings felt that they had many lives to do this over again, they wouldn't focus so much on doing such a great job in this one, because they had more opportunities and more chances. And that is one linear way to view this. But what I believe is being discovered is, as we had to struggle to come back to the rediscovery that we do live many lifetimes as old, new souls and old souls to learn new lessons and new lessons. And as more people, such as Daniel Brinkley, who I know is a good friend of yours and a regular guest,
yes,
and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and Raymond Moody, as we have more media and George, honestly, as we have you to help share this word so more people become aware that there is a bigger ongoing picture, then we start to say, oh my God, I'm part of something much larger than I ever realized, and this lifetime is more important than I ever realized.
East Rainice in Reading, Pennsylvania. Hello there. Go ahead.
Hello. I find that your talk is very refreshing. You're the first person, Eric, to agree with me that there is no pure evil.
I'm not the first person, but, you know, it's not necessarily a popular thought, and so a lot of people don't really always choose to express this. But, you know, if you look at the first book that I wrote that George mentioned earlier, it's called The Reconnection. Heal others, heal yourself. The entire second chapter is about my mother's life after death experience, and mm-hmm. The quote that I put over that chapter, and I'm spinning to it right now so I can read it to you properly. The quote is, spin to this page. Here it comes. There is a logical reason for everything that is happening in this world and beyond, and it all makes perfect sense. One day you will understand the divine purpose of God's plan. Now, I know it sounds a little religious. My mother was not religious. There's a difference between religion and spirituality. But call it God, love, or the intelligence of the universe. There is a divine plan. There is an understanding, and we will understand how it works. But we are not here to. We're not here to. As a matter of fact, when my mother was coming back from her life after death experience, all the struggling she did not to die in the first place. When she was there, it was so beautiful she didn't want to leave, and she was told she had to go back to raise her child, and she was programmed to forget, to not be here with all of the insights, the secrets of the universe. She struggled to hold on to these, knowing that she wanted some of the insights, but that we would not grow without having to step over the hurdles, without having to overcome the hurdles of learning. We view, for example, language as a way to better communicate. But when we're there on the other side, we recognize that language is a barrier, that we communicate with a simple look in a glass. We communicate volumes, but we grow. It's like the exercise of learning language. We grow so much from. That's why people who learn multiple languages have such greater understandings of human nature.
Let's go to Victor in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, first-time caller. Hello, Victor.
Good morning, sir. I must tell you, I don't speak about what I'm going to speak about to people, and I never called a radio show regarding this. But, when this gentleman was explaining what he was explaining, the difficulty about communicating to someone else about what I'm going through and what is happening to me is difficult because I think of it in conceptualization rather than thoughts, and it's difficult to translate. Now, what's happening with me is that I'm becoming less of myself and heading towards a lot of questions. This has been going on for a few years. I should mention, I don't know for what reason this may be of assistance, but I stopped drinking 2 years ago.
You know, but maybe you're not becoming less of yourself. Maybe what you're doing is you're deconstructing in a way to allow yourself to flow more freely so that when you reconstruct, it will be in a fuller, more blossomed, beautiful way. You're actually not becoming less of you. You're becoming less of the artificial external of you and discovering more of the truth of who you are, your essence.
I'm hanging on to less of what I thought was. For example, I was a soldier. I was a cop. And the thought of war repulses me because I'm beginning to see the beauty and the uniqueness of what it is to be human. And the random acts of kindness that I've experienced and have forwarded, and what waste we're consuming the world's energy on these vulgar things. But I feel like I'm leaving the artificial aspects of myself, and I have so many questions, but I don't have fear. What I have is this feeling of I get feelings of ease. What if? I don't have a concept of what God is, but I do know that it's something that is so far beyond my understanding that just to go with it, because we are here. I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory because there's one question they can't answer. Where did that come from? And the thing is that the feelings and emotions that I'm experiencing are kind, and they have me asking even more questions, but they're very simple ones.
And so to use a languaging that you're not using right now because especially as men, we're taught that it's not our language, but I'm going to ask you this question anyway. Isn't what you're going through beautiful? Isn't it exquisite?
It almost made, you know what? I've been trying to think how to verbalize those feelings and what's going on, what I'm going through. And you know what it feels like I'm a little child being held, protected. I feel innocent, and I almost feel like crying. Not a bad cry, but like I'm being saved, nurtured. And I don't feel embarrassed about those feelings anymore, and I wonder, what's going on with you, Victor? I'm going to be 61. I've lived a life of extremes and pompousness from other people and myself. And I'm getting, and I feel like I'm getting away from things that are you. For example, I don't have cable TV.
Well,
now this is you going through your own evolution. As more of us step into this consciousness, we find then it's humanity stepping into its evolution. These are what these teachings are here for, to allow us to ask questions and to feel safe in not necessarily getting the answers in absolutes, but in the growth we experience in the willingness to question and the willingness to, as you're talking about, to observe without judgment.
Eric, do you think as people get older, like Victor, that they tune into this a little more?
Excuse me. You know, but we're always getting older. We're older now than when the program began.
That's true.
Yes. I do believe that many situations we do that. I had a grandfather who was quite the terror, but try to explain this to people who met him as he became older, calm-centered, and wise. Yes, as we get older, many of us tune into this more. Howsoever, as we are really at our youngest, before we are quote-unquote taught things by the adults, we also access this very fully. Many, many, many children are born as wise teachers and come with many memories of life and understandings of life. And we, unfortunately, view our children as empty vessels placed here on the planet for us to fill with everything that we know, when maybe it's time to just turn that perspective around a little bit and say, is it possible that our children are placed here on the planet as empty vessels to allow us to learn how to become empty vessels once again?
What if you can't connect? What if you can't, as an individual?
You can. It's what if we see it and recognize it or not. There are only a few that dare to open their eyes, and often those that do are blinded by what they see. But the light doesn't blind us. The light is neutral. We choose to allow the light to blind or to allow the light to illuminate. If we don't see a light, it's not because the light isn't there. It's because we've turned away and it's here to turn back. But we have to stop trying. At a certain time, we hit a point of overwhelm for some of us, and we are so overwhelmed we can't try anymore. And in that release of the attachment comes insights, recognitions. Have you ever thought about something, George, and thought about it, tried to come up with an answer, remember something, and thought and thought and thought and thought and thought, and it didn't happen, and suddenly you were driving your car and frustrated at the traffic, and boom, the answer flew to you because you took your attention off of it.
Sure have. I sure have. Eric, you've got some seminars and workshops coming up. Is it all listed on your website?
You can go to thereconnection.com and you can see the schedule of events that is on there. I will also tell you that right this very weekend, we're teaching a seminar in Sacramento, Friday night, June 21, and all day Saturday and Sunday, June 22 and 23. The Friday night is a 3-hour presentation where we talk about the history, the theory, the philosophy of this work, the research. We give everyone an opportunity to feel it in your hands because it's very easy to feel. It's very palpable. And we even bring up volunteers from the audience to give live demonstrations of the healings. But Saturday and Sunday is very different. Saturday and Sunday is a real working seminar. And I warn people, don't come if you think we're all going to burn incense, sing spiritual songs, and bang on a drum. It won't happen that way.
We're coming back. We're going to take some final phone calls with Dr. Eric Pearl in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, of course, it'll be those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. We're also going to talk with an animal communicator. So if you're into animals, you're going to love this. We're going to be back in a moment with final calls with Dr. Eric Pearl on Coast to Coast AM. Eric, this Solomon, the entity, could it be one and the same, you know, that the entity that talked to Edgar Cayce and who knows how many other people?
It could very well be that same entity because there are several voices with slightly different personalities that we've named Solomon as a grouping. The first voice that came through we called Aaron. The second voice we became Solomon, but yet sometimes there are slightly different voices, different personalities, different information that come through. As a matter of fact, what we're doing for the very, very first time ever is on June 29th at the Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles, Universal Cities, we are giving the first public appearance of Fred Ponslow bringing through the Solomon information. Matter of fact, if you go to thereconnection.com, it will tell you about that event specifically. And we just set up today, and there'll probably be a way if you go onto the website, maybe even tonight or tomorrow, if you go onto thereconnection.com, there'll be a way that if you're not in the Los Angeles area, or even if you are, because there's only seating for 200 people there, is that we are going to be live streaming this so that you can see this from wherever you're located.
Well, that's exciting. The technology is making things easier.
Isn't that really exciting?
Yeah, it is. Let's go to some final calls here. Mark in Blair, Nebraska. Welcome to the program, Mark. You're on with Eric Pearl.
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
I noticed, Eric, that you were talking about someone that had experience with horses and small animals. I wanted to share an experience I had with that. I used to have a lot of anger in my life, and when I have a natural love for horses. So when I was younger, that anger came through, and I never really knew that about communicating with horses. And it wasn't until I got into a tremendous depression when I learned how to let loose of all that anger and let loose of myself and realizing that life was more important than anything is when all of a sudden I realized that I could really communicate with horses. And it really changed my life because the joy that comes from it, where you're literally in touch with that animal's soul and communicating at a natural level, it has literally changed my life. And because I let go, and as you were talking about it, I was wondering what your experience has been with these people who do the similar thing with animals like I have with the horses.
Well, you know, animals allow us to experience to varying degrees relatively unconditional love that is a little trickier for us. We have to really evolve into a higher state of unconditionality, if there be such a word, to experience that with human beings. So for many people who experience a lot of anger or confrontation and difficulty with humans, we allow ourselves to experience the unconditional love with animals, and that's another reason that some people also, we allow ourselves to experience that with infants until they grow up and start getting in more and more of their own personalities, and then we have to deal with them in different ways. But the truth is that love is love and life is life, and animals are people in fursuits. And we teach reconnective healing, and we teach how to do it with animals, but you don't do the healing differently with animals. You simply learn how to approach different animals in different ways so that they are more receptive. But the healings are just as efficient because reconnective healing simply is. It doesn't require faith, hope, or belief, or hypnosis, or positive thinking, or anything such as that. When we were talking just before the break, I mentioned that we teach, you know, seminars. I'm on the road about 40, 45 weeks a year around the world teaching people how to do reconnective healing. And it does not take 3 months, three times a year for 3 years to learn. It's one weekend. And within one weekend, I can pretty much make you two promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do, and B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, whether they were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet, fed grains of seed, each one blessed by its own individual lama. It doesn't matter the story. What it's about today is transcending the story, moving beyond the story, allowing healing to be demystified and made clear and transparent for each and every one of us. Part of the reason that we've decided to bring Fred into public for the very first time on June 29th in LA is so that we can begin to experience and interact with the questions, the energetic vibration that allows us to become more of who we are. And you will most likely find that your anger simply falls away. You recognize that those periods of our lives where we've been experiencing those unbridled or somewhat bridled angers with people and difficulties with our interactions are simply a phase that we are here to outgrow. It's part of our human experience to learn to vibrate and emanate this light that allows us to recognize that the darkness never existed in the first place. If it did, we could have swept it up, stuck it into a paper bag, and thrown it out with the trash. The darkness was simply where we were not yet allowing ourselves to shine as the light that we are. So unveiling deeper parts of our essence allows for our own healing, and in allowing for our own healing, we can better bring healing to others, and as we better bring healing to others, we discover our own healing in the process. It's a cyclical feedback system.
Is attitude important in order to accomplish this, Eric?
What kind of question is that?
Yes.
I'm joking. Attitude, I believe the attitude is really that of wanting to give, wanting to simply share a space and experience love. And it's not necessarily on a conscious level. It's just like when you hold a baby and you melt as it looks at you with total trust in the eyes, you experience that when you access the reconnective healing frequencies. There's no technique, so you don't have to worry about steps. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? And you melt into this space, George, of a total oneness and a unity with that person, with the intelligence of the universe, and your own essence. That's why we call the book The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, because in the process of bringing healings to others, we receive our own healings, and the more we allow ourselves to receive that, the greater healings we facilitate, the greater the love we experience. Really, I hate to sound like a Hallmark card, but the truth is, really, the key is love, unconditional love.
Okay, let's go to Frank in Asheville, North Carolina. Frank, go ahead. Thank you.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Dr. Eric.
Hey.
Dr. Eric.
Yeah.
I'm a policeman. Can you tell me, if your father's a cop, can you tell me a brief anecdote of your father's police work, what we call copping?
No, because...
when my father was
a police officer, I was... very, very, very small. And then for a long time, he wasn't. And then after I moved out of the house, he went back into the force. And then he moved on to become one of only 6 state detectives for New Jersey. And I don't know. He didn't share a lot of his police anecdotes with me, but he's listening to the show right now, and I'm sure that the next time I talk with him, because of your question, that's all I will hear.
Be good. Thank you very much, Dr. See you, George. Bye-bye.
Okay, Franco. Thanks. Appreciate it. Next up, Michael in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Michael.
Morning.
Yes.
I had a story about the hands-on healing. I had gone to a doctor of DO because I had severe nerve damage in my shoulder.
Okay.
And my wife had gone to a DO, and it was more like a better chiropractor.
The osteopaths and chiropractors pretty much have the same education. The only distinction is that chiropractors tend to have a little more philosophy in understanding what they're doing. It's a little less mechanical. But the work is pretty much equivalent. It depends on how much your individual doctor is in touch with the philosophy of becoming one with the other person and one with the unity. But I'm glad you went to an osteopath who you felt was really excellent.
Yeah, when I went there, you know, he cradled my head in his hands, and I expected him to, you know, stab my neck, and I was anticipating that for 45 minutes, and then he said, "Okay, we're done." And I found out that he's more of a cerebral DO.
Yeah, he's using what we call a non-force technique.
Pardon?
He's using what is referred to as a non-force technique, one of many. There are many different ones. The chiropractic and osteopathic education are pretty much the same thing. Osteopaths have a little more focus on drugs and chemistry, and chiropractors a little more on the neurology.
Well, it cured me. And I was off the Neurontin within a couple of weeks.
That's wonderful.
And, he started to explain it to me and, you know, how his technique was. Because I was, when I left his office, I was irate because I thought I just wasted all my time. And, you know, then he started to explain it more. And I don't know your seminar. I've never read your book. So, you know, he started talking about the ebb and flow of everything and the connection of everything.
And you allowed yourself to go into a state of non-judgment, not in that very moment, but as you began to observe, you let your judgment drop and you allowed yourself to receive your healing. Observation without judgment. It's beautiful.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Appreciate it. Las Vegas now, Lynn's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Lynn, go ahead. Hi.
Boy, my one question leads me to a thousand of them as I'm listening to other people speak. And I guess I'm really nervous about what I'm about to say because it puts me very vulnerable. But I know that I know, and I have the ability to love at a very deep capacity, but I'm not always balanced, and I'm usually caught off guard when other people, or especially men, use my weaknesses or things that I've revealed about myself to hurt me or embarrass me, humiliate me, or they just want to rip me apart, and a lot of times I question, you know, maybe I am crazy or something. But I know I'm not. I know that there's a reason that I have this depth to me, and I just keep struggling through this. And recently, my mother had given me your book on the reconnection, and I'm very interested in being involved and working with your teachings. And I feel like that I'm at the point where everything's on the edge right now, and I'm about to burst open with the truth about myself and all of the things that I've gone through. I pray for a forgiving heart when I have my hurt, and I pray that any of the thoughts that I'm holding that are less than loving when I'm hurt and I'm angry, I pray that God will change those. And I literally am crying when I'm praying because I know what hate feels like inside of me, and I can't allow it. And I've had miracles happen, but I'm wondering, here's the real question. How do you know when you're crazy and when you're not? How do you know that the things that you believe in are really the truth and that you're doing the right thing?
Well, first of all, you feel your answers in your stomach. You don't find them in your brain. You feel them in your gut. Let me ask you a question. Can light be hurt?
I'm sorry, can light be what?
Hurt. In other words, can you hurt light? Can you damage light?
No.
No, you can't. So all you can be is love and light. And if you do that, you'll recognize that no one can hurt you. They can say things, but we choose to interpret them in the way that serves us, and sometimes in a way that doesn't serve us until we recognize that way is not serving us. There might be another way. You know, Deepak Chopra, who's a very wise soul, once said a long time ago what has stayed with me. He said, I can pay you an insult, and you can choose to be insulted. You can choose to be complimented. I can compliment you. You can choose to be insulted or complimented. It's how we decide to interpret something. And if you walk in the knowingness that you are that light, no matter how much darkness is thrown on the light only shows that the darkness never existed in the first place. You may choose to walk through that light, to walk as that light now. And the very same words that had seemed to cut through you before will no longer do so.
Does that help you?
Go ahead. It is helping, and just brief, real quick. How can I respond? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but when I'm in a situation where somebody is confronting me and saying things that I know aren't the truth about me, and I don't want to argue about it, I also know that people have their right to their opinion, but it doesn't have to be the truth about me. What is the right thing for me to do to say to them to diffuse the situation and let me walk away peacefully?
You might want to try something that's going to sound silly. You might want to say, thank you very much. I appreciate your perspective on that. And then walk away and decide and determine and explore and say, is that my perspective on me? Is that my truth of me? Because I don't want to take on someone else's.
Let's take one or two more calls here, Eric. Gary in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, where my granddaughter goes to college, by the way. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes, I was hearing the doctor talk about earlier about he saying that he didn't believe there were any truly evil people. I've been a youth counselor working with children for 8 or 10 years. I've worked with Jackson County Juvenile Court out of Kansas City and worked with the North Carolina Baptist Children's Home working in a wilderness camp. And I thought they were truly evil kids, but after a while, I just come to the realization that it was mostly just bad parenting. But in the Bible, it does talk about three specific people being sons of perdition, the first being Cain, and then Judas Iscariot, and then the Antichrist. I just wanted to hear what your comments about that might be.
Okay, just got about a minute left, Eric. Go
there
ahead.
Are different perspectives on life, and there are different ways we judge and view, and we might judge and view something as being evil, and evil may well simply be the deep-seated desire in someone to receive love and their fear that they're not worthy of it, and so they live up to their fear, and we are here to look for the light, to live up to the light that we are, to reconnect, to heal others, to heal ourselves, and I certainly hope that you pick up a copy of Solomon Speaks on reconnecting your life. And I believe if you allow yourself to read, you will allow yourself to reveal your deeper thoughts.
And Eric, the best website for you is?
www.thereconnection.com.
Super. Good luck on the seminars. If I am in L.A. During the period you're there with the
I hope you will come as my guest, George. I hope you will come as my guest.
We'll honor. Be in touch. Very
okay.
Good. Dr. Eric Pearl here on Coast to Coast AM. Now, don't forget our Friday into Saturday morning show. We'll have some open lines, but, of course, we'll also have some fun. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.